Let's get theoretical.
Awesome hypothetical.
That's right, it's time to discuss mysteries of the universe. Well, not just the universe, it's not going to be really mysteries of the universe today. It's going to be like just comic books, mainly Marvel, because we're celebrating 10 years of Marvel and the Avengers Infinity War. We did a review for that, check it out.
Yes, we did.
A lot of spoilers, so if you haven't seen it yet, you shouldn't listen to it. I wouldn't recommend it if you haven't seen it, because we kind of discuss everything from certain villains' philosophies to endings to all of it and what we think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch
Go
the movie.
Go see the movie and then come back.
And then check it out. We've got more reviews coming up. Stranger Things.
Yes.
Season 2 and Season 1 recap. That'll be coming up. And then we've also got Westworld. That's coming up as well.
Yep.
And other things too.
Super exciting stuff.
Yep. All right, so let's get to it. All the information is in the description below. Wherever you can find podcasts is there. Otherwise, the YouTube channel is Simmer Mike. That's where we do trailer reactions, movie reviews, other clip reactions, and other stuff and shit. It's great. It's good times. Check it out. Description's below. All right. Let's get to it. They're awesome hypotheticals. It's a Marvel, Infinity Marvel? Infinity Marvel. Hypothetical situation. I don't want to give away spoilers, but there aren't necessarily spoilers in these hypotheticals. There's just been a lot of these are based on rumors and theories and where people think things are going. So don't think that this is actually like what we're giving away for Infinity War. These are just like, again, hypothetical questions in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
So this we're not spoiling anything, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the first one. A lot of talk about Captain America. And who would be the next Captain America?
Mm-hmm.
There's been talk about Anthony Mackie taking it over. There's been talk about what's his name? Sebastian, the guy who plays Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah.
There's been talk about him taking it over. But he's doing White Wolf. So I guess the question would be, the hypothetical would be, who should be the next Captain America if they do replace Cap?
Oh, boy.
With Chris Evans decides, I'm done. Fuck it. This is bullshit. No more Captain America. I'm out. Good luck, Marvel. And then they're like, oh, what do we do? I mean, it would make sense for Falcon to be the next one because he's legitimately got nothing else going on.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate saying that.
That's very true.
But, like, you know, Bucky's White Wolf now in Wakanda, so he's kind of like Black Panther's sidekick now. It's like he broke up with Steve after Civil War. Things got weird after Civil War between everyone. So now Steve's got a beard. He's all emo now.
Well, wait. So who should be the next Captain America? Are we talking characters in the Marvel Universe or actors?
No, characters in the universe currently. Because in the comic books, it's taken up by Bucky in the comics after Civil War. Because in Civil War, Captain America dies in the comic books. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. He comes back. It's fucking... It's a different storyline, so don't worry. Not spoiling anything. Go see Civil War.
Yeah.
Good movie. You saw it. You loved it.
I did love it.
Yeah. What would you give it out of 10 caps? Out of 10 caps?
Like an 8.
Nice.
Yeah.
So there you go. Mini review for Cap Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
I think Falcon would just be the next logical step. I think you would just have to get Falcon to do it, but he doesn't have enhanced abilities like Captain... does, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the super soldier serum. Bucky does to a degree, but he's White Wolf now, so it's like, what do you do?
Yeah, Bucky's really the only one that makes sense.
I mean, otherwise, if it's based on strength alone, I mean, it'd be interesting if Black Widow was Captain America.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
I'm not saying that should happen or that will. I'm just like, wouldn't that be interesting if... Because she worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. She did.
Mm-hmm.
She went off with Cap and Bucky and everybody. Falcon. But I just feel like Falcon has nothing else going on in his character. Like, yeah, it's great that he's Falcon, but he's kind of just like whatever. He's got like a drone. He uses technology. Mm-hmm. He has like robo wings. He's a bird guy. It's like, okay, that's kind of lame being bird guy. It's like, okay, now he's Captain America. I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Like that, yeah. That I would be fine with that. You know, he's kind of just like a waste as Falcon anyway. Not that it's a lame character, but it's kind of a lame character. I mean, Hawkeye, Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I hate talking shit. What if Hawkeye became Captain America? Holy shit.
That would be random. Really interesting.
Ultimate misdirection. It's like, hey, where's Hawkeye been this whole time? Oh, yeah, he's the new Captain America, by the way. Why? Because fuck you.
See,
what Jeremy Renner finally gets. Oh, yeah. Finally, Jeremy Renner's the main guy. He's Captain America now. I would love it. I would love it. Make that happen.
Would be great.
That would, for me, that would be poetic justice.
You know what, though?
Hawkeye becomes Captain America. That would be so cool. Make it so.
Only going slightly off the rails here, because when you initially asked me that and I thought we were talking actors, I had a funny thought. He's not even really an actor, but the blonde guy from Smosh Games.
Oh, wait, Wes?
No, not Wes.
What are you talking about?
Like, pretty boy.
Oh, he's too short and he's balding.
We can agree to disagree on the balding thing, but I think he looks enough like...
He's too short and he's balding and he's a Smosh Games
Captain
dude.
America.
What are you talking about? Why are you... You just saw Smosh Games. That's why you're talking about... No, okay, shout out to Smosh, I guess, by the way. Anyway, back to...
Sorry.
Back to who should be Captain America. Hawkeye has my vote now. Before, I thought Anthony Mackie would be great, but you know what? Falcon gets more screen time than Hawkeye ever did, and he has cooler stuff. Make Hawkeye, give him super soldier serum somehow. Hit him with gamma rays. I don't care. Make him the new Captain America. It's only fair. Jeremy Renner deserves it. Hawkeye deserves it. That's my vote. I don't want to influence yours, but who do you want? Forget my argument, but who would you like?
I kind of want Black Widow.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
But I also kind of want...
I can see Black Widow being Captain America, right? Like Scarlett Johansson? But he's already War Machine, though. He's already got, like, a badass suit.
Yeah, I know, but I was just thinking if they gave him the super soldier serum.
Yeah.
And were, like, able to fix his legs so he wouldn't have to wear the mechanical things
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, he's got that
he could
biomech.
Just kind of, like, by default become the new Captain America.
That would be an interesting plot twist. You know, you could be like, hey, we fixed War Machine, we fixed Rhodey, but now he's, like, super powered. Hey, well, you know, Captain America quit.
We're down somebody.
We're down
so.
A Captain America, and really we don't need another War Machine.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, fair enough, done. Rhodey's Captain America. Hawkeye's like, damn it. It was my time. Poor Hawkeye.
Hawkeye, well, it's never your time.
When Scarlett Johansson does her Black Widow movie, Hawkeye should be the other character in it. Like, he should be the second lead.
Because
Jeremy Renner and that character deserves to have more time.
Why do I feel like, is it just me, or did Hawkeye get more screen time in the second Iron Man movie than any movie after that?
No, he did. No, you didn't see Ultron, though. You didn't see Age of Ultron.
No, I didn't see Age of Ultron.
No, we saw, like, we got a whole backstory for Hawkeye. They go hide out on his farm. He has a farm. Yeah, he's got, like, a wife and kid.
Okay.
He's like a dad. Hawkeye's like a dad, like a Midwest
weird
beer-swilling dad.
All right.
And he lives on a farm. It's like, you're like, holy shit. Like, Hawkeye's just a dude. He likes football. He likes... I don't know. Anyway, sorry. He's like, I'm just a bro. I'm Hawkeye. All right. So I guess my vote is for Hawkeye. Yours is for ScarJo.
ScarJo, Don Cheadle, Ty.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So those are our three picks. All right. Ooh, this is an interesting one. Will we ever have a Marvel versus DC crossover?
Not anytime soon.
Not within the next 10 years, but man, once...
That will only happen once DC gets their stuff together.
Once Marvel stops making so much money at their movies, then they'll do it.
Well, either
Think
that...
Think about
either
it. They'll be like, our characters are kind of drying up. How cool would it be if we crossed universes over because we need to make money?
Well,
and then they'll do it. I guarantee that's what's going to happen. Boom.
The only two times that would happen in the foreseeable future would be if either A, Marvel kind of plateaued and
that's what that was
really
my,
felt like they needed to do that.
That was my theory was they started losing money and then they're like, look, we're drying up here. We got to do something drastic. Hey, DC, you want to get in on this? DC's like, yeah, okay.
Or if DC really busted out with their next couple movies,
I've heard Aquaman looks cool, and Wonder Woman too. I'm excited about it. Kristen Wiggs. Anyway, sorry, we're here talking about Marvel. Anyway, if we're doing a Marvel versus DC crossover, what was the second part? Your second what if scenario for this thing?
If DC redeems themselves. If DC redeems
themselves and brings them up to the level of Marvel.
Yeah.
Then you could see them both maybe doing something.
Yes.
Okay. I can see either or. Like, either Marvel fails miserably the next few movies and they need to team up, or DC does really well and Marvel's like, hey, maybe it behooves both of us to do this. Who knows? I mean, exactly. Either way, we do think this is going to happen, but within the next decade, I don't know. Marvel and DC have a lot of separate plans going on. Mm-hmm. If this happens, they'll have to, like, make it happen sometime way down the future.
Because they have movies lined up for the next 10 years.
Yeah,
so.
Both of them do, like next decade. So maybe in about 10 years. But in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say yes, but 10 years. this was something that was rumored and then it was shot down. They said a lot of the female leads in the Marvel movies who were in Infinity War said, we should do an all-female superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people on the internet were like, hell yeah, make it happen. You know, all female Marvel-led superhero movie. That would be great. Let's make it happen. Yeah. And then one of the actresses who they quoted as saying, like, that she wanted, I think it was Karen Gillan or someone.
Oh, yeah.
They asked her again, and she's like, oh, no, I don't want that. Never mind. I was just kidding. I was just saying that for fun.
Weird.
Like, Disney got to her and said, hey, look, chill out. Like, we can't do anything about it yet, or maybe we can. You're going to spoil stuff, or maybe not. I don't know, but like she shot it down instantly. So the question is, should Marvel do an all-female superhero team-up movie where it's just all the ladies?
Well, I mean, yes. However, I think
that's sexist.
Because
no, I'm kidding. Sorry.
Dynamic that they've already built with all the characters, part of the reason why I feel like they haven't already done one, or maybe they have one in the works for way down the road.
Yeah, possibly.
Is because they would have, because of how tight-knit the group is, to an extent, they'd have to have a really good explanation for why all the other characters weren't there.
I don't know. It could be like a weird gladiatorial planet, but it's all the women fight on the planet, and so all the men are like held prisoner. And the men are the damsels in distress, and all the females have to go fight in a gladiatory combat. That would be cool.
I mean,
that would make a lot of sense. And then you could get around the whole gender thing, and it could be like a planet led by almost like an Amazonian warrior thing, but not Wonder Woman. Not Wonder Woman. Separate. Aliens. Super aliens.
So, yeah, that's what I think. I just think based on the relationships that they've built, it would be really difficult to explain why. Or come up with a scenario why everyone else wouldn't be there.
I think that could work. I think the gladiatory female planet.
Yeah.
Like let's say the Guardians crash there, but it's just like Nebula and whoever, Gamora maybe, who knows, like if it's whatever. But if it's Nebula or maybe Gamora and then the rest of the Guardians are trapped, then they're like, we got to get the other ladies involved. Get Captain Marvel out here. Get, you know, whoever else.
See, okay, if it was sort of centering around Guardians, mm-hmm. in a sense, I feel like it could work because they could play up the humor of all the dudes from Guardians getting, you know.
Oh, but they already did a gladiatory thing with Thor. With Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. Never mind. Yeah, that would be hard. It would be, yeah, you're right. It would be an interesting way. Or maybe it would be a planet where only females could land, but like there's like some sort of mineral there that I don't know. I'm trying to figure like an infinity stone or I don't know. Like how do you?
There are possibilities, but
there are ways to do it. But I mean, is it necessary? I guess would be the more interesting question. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, would it be necessary to do one? I mean, yeah, they could, but should they? Would it be like a gender thing? Like yeah, girl power, or would that be the point of it? And if that's the point, is that justified to be like, yes, we're just pushing an all-female agenda thing, but it's not really coming from an organic place. It's just like more of an agenda than anything else. And then I'm like, but that's okay because they make movies like that all the time.
Yeah.
So like where it's like all dudes. And I'm like, well, so that's okay. Like, I don't
it
know.
Makes
I go back and forth.
Sense if it's the next natural progression.
Mm.
It will not right. work if it is yeah. forced.
You mean as a part of a storyline?
Yes.
Yes. That I can agree with. That would be really interesting.
So they would have to set it up maybe one or two movies before. And
all men. A female villain who's like, all men must be held prisoner and kept for breeding purposes only.
Well, that's actually kind of what are like, I thought. Yes. I think if you had a female villain who had some sort
yes,
of...
Yes, like gender thing. That would be interesting. Yeah. That would be interesting. That could work. That could possibly work. It would mm-hmm. just depend... It would probably be like a Captain Marvel movie then, you know? Because she's a female yeah. superhero. Mm-hmm. It would have to be one of her villains then to get all the other female superheroes involved, I think. That could work. Or get this, you could do one where the female villain turns them all into ladies. The ladies stay ladies.
Oh, that would be funny.
But then you've got female Thor, you've got female Tony Stark, you've got Spider-Girl, Spider-Woman.
That would be hilarious.
And they're all flipped and they all become women.
I would watch that movie.
So you still have Iron Man, but it's Iron Woman now, mm-hmm. you know, and he's got to adjust his suit because he's got boobies now. So he's Tony Stark's like, or Tina Stark.
Tina Stark.
I think that would be really cool. And then you could get away with sort of casting all women in that movie. Mm-hmm. And you would still have those same characters, but it would just be the actresses would be doing their version of
yes.
that character.
Yeah.
So it would be mm-hmm. the female essence of it, which I think would be really cool. And then that's how you could get away with it, I think, would be a fun... That's my hypothet for doing a crossover. I was trying to figure out a way how to kind of make it work, but keep all of the heroes and not get rid of all the dudes.
Yeah.
But that's a way to keep the dudes, make them women, and then deal with that. And then the women have to explain to them how their lady stuff works. How lady stuff works. Be like, look, you need a bra, Tony. Like, what? Why do I need a bra? Oh, right.
Well, you'd hope that they'd have some general idea of how that stuff works.
Yeah.
But,
I think that'd
yeah,
be cool.
Anyway.
I would like to see the all-female versions and see how they all deal with it, being women and then fighting evil as women and then having all the hormones kick in.
Oh, that would be funny.
And then like they just Thor starts crying. She's just I'm just so emotional.
No, Hulk.
Hulk would be a wreck.
Hulk
would be
a mess.
Oh my god. Female Hulk? She-Hulk? Then you could have She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Then you could do She-Hulk. Then mm-hmm. you could get away with She-Hulk because they'd all be women. Boom. You're welcome, Hollywood. You're welcome, Marvel. All right, so yeah, they could do it, but it would depend on the story.
Yes.
It would have to be an overall story arc, right? Like, it couldn't just... I mean, it could be a one-off, but I don't know.
No, that wouldn't work for... Marvel is so good at intertwining their movies.
They'd have to run out of ideas.
Yeah.
They'd have to be low on ideas, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the next one. Oh, we're chugging along. This is a question that's near and dear to my heart. Is Jeremy Renner underused as Hawkeye? Answer, yes. Next.
I don't know how else you answer that. Elaborate on that because I am fairly, I don't know much about the source material for Hawkeye.
Right.
I'm just a big Jeremy Renner fan.
Yeah, I like Jeremy Renner.
So that's why I'm saying yes.
Yeah, but also that character, Hawkeye is a pretty solid character. He has a great speech. You haven't seen Age of Ultron, but he has this speech where he's talking to Scarlet Witch and she's freaking out. And he's like, look, we're on a floating island. There's a robot... bad guy,
mm-hmm.
and I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. I know, none of this makes sense. But if you're going to walk out there, you're either going to stay here and hide, and that's fine. You can do that. Or if you step out there, then you're an Avenger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Hawkeye had a whole speech and just, pumped Scarlet Witch up. And it was great. Like Jeremy Renner was fantastic, and he really was one of the best parts of Age of Ultron, was Hawkeye, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But Age of Ultron is not one of the better ones, unfortunately. It's good, it's just not that good. And that's the one Hawkeye's in the most, and I'm like, damn it. So I don't know, Clint Barton should get definitely more screen time. Renner is a talent that should... I think if you do the Black Widow movie, you should have him in it heavily. That would be my answer.
Yeah.
And then the next Avengers movies and the next few, just get him in there, you know? Like, come on, get Renner in there. He deserves it. He's been there since day one.
I agree.
Practically, you know? So that's my thing. So, yes, the answer is yes. The long answer is, yeah, he deserves it more. Short answer, yes. Your final thoughts on Renner, on Hawkeye?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. He's underused.
Fair enough. Okay, so now here's a big one. And we're getting into the crazy ones. Like, the last three are going to be pretty serious, controversial. super controversial.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Marvel film so far? Including Infinity War, you can include it.
That's not my answer.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Whatever. Yeah, go for it.
Surprise. No, I'm just saying, I feel like that's going to surprise people.
Yeah, because a lot of people like Infinity War is their new favorite now. Everyone's saying who's seen it, it's like, I love it. It's my favorite.
Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, nice choice. That's a good one. Thor Ragnarok is solid. Like, it was a reinvention of what they'd been doing with Thor thus far. Taika Waititi really, like, loosened everyone up.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was loosened up and was having fun. The more bright colors. They reinvented everything. And then in a later movie, they kind of got rid of it, but to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a cool transition for everything. I just really, I really love, and Goldblum. I mean, Goldblum. I think Goldblum is like the cherry on top of that movie that you're like, yes, perfect. So Ragnarok's solid. I'm glad that that's one of your favorite. It's your favorite one so far?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. It is so really far. Good.
And there are quite a few that I still haven't seen, but
I admire that.
Thor is definitely my favorite right now.
Oof. Man, favorite Marvel film so far. Well, they said Marvel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it can be any Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or does it have to be within the Avengers thing? Because we're doing this in Marvel's 10-year anniversary, and it's any Marvel movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wants to say Deadpool.
Yeah.
Part of me, only part of me, just because I knew it took Ryan Reynolds 10 years to make it. I know that he was like behind it, like the studio was like fighting him. Mm-hmm. They leaked, quote unquote, leaked the test footage. It was quote unquote leaked. They put it up online. They know they did.
Yeah.
And people loved it, and it was one of the highest grossing, it is the highest grossing R-rated superhero movie of all time. It made $600 million in its run,
mm-hmm.
And it's made about a billion so far, over a billion, I think, so far. Deadpool's pretty great. I don't know, but it's not my, I wouldn't say it's my favorite. I love its story, and I love everything about what made it happen. I almost like the marketing a bit more because the marketing is really satisfying for Deadpool.
It is.
All of the fun meta humor shit is dope. But maybe, I mean, X-Men Days of Future Past was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And I know that's not necessarily, I mean, it's a Marvel movie, but it's not within the Avengers universe, but it kind of is. But Days of Future Past was so damn good. And if you want to say Marvel movie, that to me is a Marvel movie, and it was so well done. I love Days of Future Past. But if I'm going to pick like within the Avengers universe, Civil War was pretty good. Civil War was pretty damn good.
It was.
When I think back on Civil War, I'm like, man, that it's hard because I want to say Civil War. I want to say Black Panther. Surprisingly, Ant-Man pops up, but there's something about the first Iron Man. When you watch the first Iron Man, like the first one, the very first one, there's something kind of like edgy and loose cannon about it. You're like, this is something crazy. Like, this is a guy who is, he's an arms dealer. He's basically like just selling weapons to the government, but like he's also selling weapons to the other side too. And he's essentially just like the weapons dealer. He's an arms dealer, and he doesn't care. And he's like a whiz kid, but he's grown up, and he's an alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
This whole thing, whole backstory. And then he gets captured by the bad guys.
Yep.
But they're using his weapons. And then he sees that it's his weapons not only killing the bad guys, but the good guys and everyone in between.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is all over it. Stark, Stark, Stark.
It's been a long time since I've seen...
Right? Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Yeah, and then you're like, and he's this douchebag who gets, like, you know, he gets PTSD. He gets fucked up by bad guys. And he uses his intelligence, he uses his brain to get out of it and to escape in the coolest way possible.
Oh, yeah.
And then decides not only is he going to, like, escape these guys, but he's going to go back and fight them, and he's going to fight all the bad guys. And he uses his you know, so he basically is like a reformed, it's almost like a Scrooge story. Like
a little bit,
like,
yeah.
Like the story of Tony Stark is almost like Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, when he learned the error of his ways and decided to use his wealth and his skills to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to learn lessons and be scared and fucked with. Like, he had to lose his heart. He literally had to lose his heart and have, like, you know, some sort of light bulb put in there. LED
light
shit. He's got some LED I bet it changes color with his mood. That would be pretty cool.
That would be
when he gets
hilarious.
Mad, it turns red. They missed out on that.
They
missed out on Iron Man's mood ring. What do you call it? His core. So if I have to say, like, yeah, I love Civil War, and I love Black Panther, but you kind of need the other Marvel movies to get those. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The first Captain America, the first Avenger, it takes place like way back in the day, so you mm-hmm. don't need the other movies really.
Yeah.
For context, you could just sort of start with that if you wanted. But the very first Iron Man, it's just so damn good. It was so promising, and it delivered on every promise since mm-hmm. then. That, like, if I had to pick like my favorite Marvel movie for honestly the plain and simple fact that it's not only the first, but I think it was like it set the standard for the rest of them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm like, damn, Iron Man, the first one. The first one's just too good. It's just, you go back and watch it, and you get pumped. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, fuck him up, Iron Man. Boom, boom, boom. Like, he goes back, and, like, all those, like, insurgents are, like, in that village. And, like, he just shows up and just, like, Iron Man's the shit out of everybody.
Iron Man.
He does. Like, yeah. And saves all the hostages and takes out the bad guys. And he leaves, and they're all fucked up. And you're like, yes,
mm-hmm.
that's what should happen.
Yes.
Elon Musk, you hear that? You hear that, Elon Musk? You make that Iron Man suit. I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to be a superhero. He's going to do it. He wants to make a cyborg dragon, I think. He said that on Twitter.
Yeah. Yep, I remember seeing that.
Quick sidebar. Is Elon Musk our Tony Stark in real life?
Potentially.
Potentially? All right.
Potentially.
To be continued. So that's mine, Iron Man. But yours is... What did you say? I'm so sorry. I was so obsessed with Iron Man.
Thor Ragnarok.
Thor. Damn, that's good. That's a fun, like... That's like some of the best bits of Marvel in mm-hmm. Thor Ragnarok. You get Hulk. You get Thor being Thor, which is just funny. He's just a funny character. Loki's there.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Goldblum's there.
Yep.
Solid. And of
Strange
course
Strange is there.
Yeah. And then you get Iron Man, you know, and then you get Nick Fury at the very, very end.
Yep.
And then you get that first post-credit scene.
Yeah.
And now
and Cate Blanchett.
I know this isn't a hypothetical, but post-credit scenes, do you think they should only happen if it's something really groundbreaking and cool?
No, I think...
Or do you think that they should just keep doing whatever the hell they want, like put up a bullshit scene where it's just two people talking and nothing happens, and you're like, damn it, I waited 20 minutes for this?
Well, but I mean, Marvel, I feel like Marvel has done a good job of not necessarily getting your hopes up about what the post-credit scene is, because
that's
they do a mixture
crap.
Of just like...
I'm
sometimes
sick
of it. They're just funny, and sometimes it's this big like cliffhanger, and sometimes it's
I have a confession to make.
What?
When I see Marvel movies and I'm by myself, and mm-hmm. I know there's a post-credit scene, and I'm by myself, and I'm not with a friend or whatever, I leave. I just go.
Really?
I don't stay for the post-credits. You know why? Because I have enough time to go to the bathroom. No one's in the bathroom. Everyone's sitting in the theater watching 20 minutes worth of credits for a scene that's going to take a minute and 30 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
And they can easily watch it at home on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I get up, I go to the bathroom, I walk out, plenty of time, no one's there, no crowds, and then I leave. And everyone's still in there waiting for a minute and 30 seconds long. And then I'm already on the bus, or I'm in a Lyft or whatever, and then I'm watching it on YouTube on my phone.
Yeah, that
Meanwhile,
makes sense.
They're still in the theater waiting 5 minutes longer, and I'm already watched it, and I'm on my way home, and I'm like tweeting about the scene in the movie.
That's fair.
And they're still sitting there waiting to watch this goddamn scene. And they gotta pee. Stupid. I just think if you're gonna do a post-credits scene for Marvel, make it something worth sitting for 20 minutes. I'm sorry. Okay, how long is it? Like, credits at the end of a movie? It takes like 15 to 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It's like three. I counted the songs once. It's like, I'm like, one song, two song. Three songs, so it's about 12 to 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
generally speaking. You sit through all that to get to a minute to 2 minutes, and then
mm-hmm.
it's done. And then you walk out, and it's just like, bleh. It's very odd.
Yeah.
It's a very awkward, odd feeling. I don't like it. I love the idea of the post-credit scene when it's something groundbreaking. Like, God, what was it? Like, at the end of Avengers, Thanos stands up, and he's like, I'll do it myself. And everyone's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, shit, it's Thanos. That's cool. That's fine. But if it's like Howard the Duck and he's just sitting there like, huh, that sucks. whole thing blew up. And you're like, what? Why the fuck did I stay here for 20 minutes?
Well, but here's, I feel like I have a really good example of a post-credit scene that wasn't totally necessary, but people were really glad about.
Mm-hmm.
Black Panther.
Oh, yeah, when he said, oh, but we didn't stay for the White Wolf one. Because there was a White Wolf scene at the very end, too, that we didn't even stay for.
No, we didn't stay for that. But
we stayed for the one where they went to the UN and they're like, hey, we're here.
Which wasn't totally necessary because all it was them confirming that they were going to, you know, help people and let people in, you know, to Wakanda. So it wasn't necessary, but it was confirmation that the audience wanted.
Yeah, more or less it was, but
you know
it,
what
but
I
it
mean?
Wasn't. It wasn't. I don't think it was necessary to wait 15 minutes, 20 minutes, in like silence, just music playing. Most of the time, music you don't really care about, like it's just music from the movie, which mm-hmm. is fine. But you're just sitting there waiting for a 2 minute. It's just like I can't anymore. I can't. I'm like I love watching the movies, but man, just sitting in that theater waiting and knowing that we're just going to get such a lame payoff or it's like, oh, it might be good. It might just suck. That's the fun. No, it isn't. That's not the fun. I want it to be good. If you're going to make me wait 20 minutes and watch like credits roll up for 20 minutes for something that's going to take a 2 minute long like span of time, please.
But it is,
make it worth our time.
But it is part of the fun though, because if Goldblum hadn't been in the post-credit scene in Thor, I don't think you would have liked it as much.
I don't know.
Regardless of what else it was.
But, you know, you get through that 20 minutes and you're like, just show me anything. I don't care at this point. Just, you could show me a lame-ass scene of 30 seconds just as long as I can justify why I stayed. And then you still are mad. I'm still mad about it because I'm like, why did... Anyway, that's my own personal philosophy on it. If you love it and you think it's fun and it's a part of the fun and you don't... That's fine. It's just I get annoyed by it. I just want to move on from the movie. I'm like, credits, I'm done, let's go. And it's like, no, wait, all right, now go. And it's like, what? Mm-hmm. For what? If they showed a trailer at the end, like if they would show you the scene and then you would watch the post credit scene and then they showed you a trailer like a new premiere trailer for a new Marvel thing, then I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, then that's totally justified.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, then it's like a nice little mint after a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, we got a little trailer at the end, a little post-credit scene, then a trailer. Awesome. Then it feels a little bit more justified. Otherwise, it's like, eh.
Yeah, we can agree to disagree on
Thank
that
one. You. Yeah, if you're with me on that, let me know, because I feel really alone about the post-credit stuff. Everyone, I feel like, is just so jazzed about it. I'm sorry if you love it and I've been nagging you. Both of our opinions are okay. All right, and I guess we'll end on this one. I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go to the favorite.
No.
Well, I guess we can answer. We got two left. We'll answer them very quickly then. Will scary superhero theme movies work? We know that X-Men has a new thing coming out. New
mm-hmm.
new class? New school?
New mutants.
Next generation? New mutants.
New mutants.
And it's more of a horror-themed thing. We know that they've got another horror-themed one coming out, right? Like, there's a hero. Oh, yeah, Dark Phoenix is supposed to be a little bit more horror-themed.
Mm.
So they're going a Venom is going to be more horror
Venom.
Themed, more creepy, more scary, more mm-hmm. more in that weird realm. Do you think the superhero, the scary ones, those themes will work for superhero movies?
Yes.
All right, there we go. So next one. No, I say yes too, only because you look at, I mean, these are DC references, but you look at Swamp Thing, you look at Constantine. You look at, well, back to Marvel. You look at Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Deadman. I think that's DC again. God, Thor, even, there's dark magic there. There's supernatural stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think scary themes work for superhero. I think it could work. It just, it's got to be the right balance.
Yes,
you just gotta,
feel like it can work really well if you have the right team working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can have just a team of people who primarily work on superhero movies. I think you maybe need to have like a horror movie director,
right?
And then superhero producers.
Interesting.
You know, you have to be somebody who's familiar with the genre.
Yeah.
In order to accomplish it.
I mean, yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, Del Toro could probably do it. He mm-hmm. did Hellboy, and that's kind of the best of both worlds when you think about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If not Del Toro, maybe Ridley Scott. He could probably do it. He's very good at handling horror and sci-fi elements.
Yeah.
And superhero movies are kind of like sci-fi, and if you put horror in there, Ridley Scott could probably do that.
James Wan. Directing Aquaman.
He's doing Aquaman, and that's going to, you know, the deep, dark ocean is very creepy and scary. But again, that's we're veering more DC. It's interesting. DC can get dark with their superheroes, and they can get scary and creepy. But when Marvel does it, it seems a little bit more like, wow, superhero movies that are scary. But DC does it all the time. Like, look at, well, you got Ghost Rider, that's Marvel. And Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage. I mean, those movies, a lot of people laugh about them.
Yeah.
The first one's not bad. The second one is pretty damn good, too, actually. I think the second one's a little bit better, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider. Anyway.
I would agree that DC goes darker. I do not think they go scarier.
No, they're not scarier, but they're definitely darker.
They're darker in a real world sense.
I mean, Constantine is pretty dark.
Well, yes, Constantine.
And if Del Toro was attached to do a dark, a DC Justice League dark, which was going to be Swamp Thing, Constantine, I think a few others in there, in that dark realm. I don't know if that movie's still going to happen or if it's just been shelved or whatever. I would still love to see it. But when it comes to Marvel and X-Men going kind of scary and Spider-Man going kind of scary, I mean, I think what they're trying to do is I think they're realizing that superheroes can sort of be a base for other things, like tofu.
Yeah.
Like, it's like superheroes can be like...
superheroes are like tofu.
They can be like tofu. Hear me out. So you know how tofu, in and of itself, it has kind of a flavor and a texture, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
It just is tofu. It's about what you put in it to make it taste good. I think studios are realizing that superhero movies, like with Deadpool, it was a superhero movie, but it was an R-rated comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool was an R-rated comedy that happened to be a superhero movie, but you sold it as a superhero thing, but it was mainly a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're realizing we can still make horror movies, we can still make comedies, we can still make like other stuff, but they can have superheroes in it, and that's how we'll sell it.
Yeah.
We'll still make these awesome dramas, we'll still make these awesome horror movies and stuff, but we'll just put superheroes in it.
Yeah, or you could take it the other direction, like this movie I'm about to talk about is 50-50 for a lot of people.
Oh, Suicide Squad?
No.
Sorry.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, man. That's a throwback.
Yeah, because they took
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Icons. Like, you know, a vampire, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Well, literary icons, but a lot of horror.
Literary,
but a lot of horror
mostly
ones
horror.
Could be super.
Dorian Gray. And
the vampire.
They made them the heroes.
Along with Quatermain and Tom Sawyer and
a
few others.
I mean, there were some heroes in there, but
absolutely. Well, not just heroes, but it's not even just heroes, but like, you know, people that aren't supernatural, you know, like basically. But what you're saying is it was a nice mix of both. It was gothic and macabre, but it was also superhero.
Yeah.
You liked League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. A lot of people.
I did.
A lot of people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Connery credited that movie as killing his career. He said James Bond said he never wanted to act again after League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Whatever.
I hate saying that. The thing is, I saw that movie twice in theaters. The first time because I wanted to. The second time because I had no choice. And then I rented it and I enjoyed it more at home renting it than I did in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Some movies do better at home than they do in theaters.
Some movies do better at home.
And I felt like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was a movie that I enjoyed more as a cult thing.
Yeah.
Than as a... I felt like they handled Jekyll and Hyde really well.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they handled a lot of the effects really well, but unfortunately, it was kind of just a hodgepodge fuckery at the end of the day.
I saw this movie for the first time like 4 years ago.
That's a good example. I mean, a lot of people like it a lot, and that's a good example of being like, hey, there's a superhero movie that has horror elements, and it kind of worked.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't for a lot of people, but it crossed the threshold somewhat.
Where they were going worked.
Yes, they crossed the threshold to a degree.
Yes.
But not fully.
Mm-hmm.
they got a toe over it, but so we'll see. I mean, and then Constantine with Keanu.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
I love that movie. Because Constantine is more, and like, I don't know how, I've only seen the movie, so I don't know how accurate it is to the source material, but my perspective is that Constantine was more of an anti-hero because yes, he was helping people and rescuing them.
Yeah.
But he was doing it for his own so he could get into heaven. So yeah. He was trying to gain God's favor.
Yeah, you know, that was his whole thing. That was his whole struggle.
He wasn't doing it for the greater good.
No.
He was doing it for himself.
He wasn't sacrificing himself. He was trying to save his ass.
So
and then
he's
at the
more
end,
anti-hero.
He was trying to be. And then when the shit hit the fan and when the stakes were high and it depended on him doing the right thing, mm-hmm. he still did the right thing. Because at the end mm-hmm. of the day, he's the hero. Even if you're an anti-hero, yeah. you're still, the hero is still in your title. You still do the right thing, even though you're kind of a dick about it.
Yeah.
So that's why we like anti-heroes.
I think
I
really
see what you're saying.
The
like,
main answer to this question, because it is scary superheroes.
Scary superheroes. Or not so much, maybe the villains are scary or the setting is scary.
Well, yeah.
But they're dealing with horror themes.
Yeah, but you're putting
super.
Superheroes
super.
Into a horror movie scenario. And I think we really have to wait for New Mutants in order to answer that question.
Yeah, they've been doing reshoots, and I think even they're struggling with how to do it. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like if DC started venturing down that path,
mm-hmm.
currently with the way that with the visual aesthetic DC has currently, they absolutely should be doing supernatural horror themed superhero movies.
Yes,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Get Constantine in there. I mean, look at the darkness that they have. Look at all the weird macabre stuff that DC has going mm-hmm. on. They have got to utilize their dark sensibilities and make these sort of dark superheroes. Get Constantine, get DC Justice League Dark, get all that mm-hmm. in there. Make Dead Man happen. Make Swamp Thing happen. Now is the time people want, yeah. and DC knows how to do that.
Spawn is in the works, reportedly.
Todd McFarlane's going to get Spawn going again. Yeah. So, I mean, like, it might as well. Like, this is the time to do it. Venom's a lot of heat on that currently. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see. So, I mean, to answer the question, I think there's potential for it to work out pretty mm-hmm. well. Because it could just be, again, superheroes can be tofu for other movies. It
yeah.
could just sort of be a base for what you want to do with a drama or a comedy or sci-fi or
yeah.
like Guardians. Guardians is a superhero movie, but it's science fiction. It's like Star Wars.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but basically something like that, it's either going to be a hit or a miss. You're either going to nail it right on the head or you're going to completely miss the mark.
Probably, yeah, at least for the audience. Because as far as audience, that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
If the audience isn't mm-hmm. digging it, then... Sorry, it's something. Something's wrong in the mix.
We'll see.
We will be the decider. Okay, so, and here's the last one.
Okay.
Marvel. Think Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking a little bit about DC now, but this is the last hypothetical, and I think it's very fitting, and it's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite hero?
Black Panther.
Damn.
Without a doubt.
Whoa, you didn't even think about
no.
that. You saw the question, though,
without
so you had that loaded up. I'm still thinking about it. Black Panther?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's kind of one of your first sort of... You haven't seen a lot of the origin movies.
No, I haven't seen a lot of the origin.
You've seen a lot of the team-up stuff, but this Black Panther was the first time you saw an origin. Not really. What kind of an origin? You saw a solo outing.
Well, no, not necessarily. Like, I saw the first Iron Man. I saw the first Thor. You know, I saw the first Avengers. I know it's a team-up movie, but I feel like even though it's a team-up movie, it's the origin for the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
But
why Black Panther?
Black Panther was just an amazing character.
Yep.
You know, his powers are cool.
Well, you saw his struggle in Civil War, because you saw Black Panther first.
Yes.
And then you saw Civil War.
And
so
then
you saw how he lost his father and mm-hmm. everything. And so you mm-hmm. saw that sort of in a prequel way
mm-hmm.
instead of in the way that it was meant. But how was that? How was it seeing it that way? Was it more powerful that way, or was it?
Well, no, because they showed the flashbacks in the movie.
Oh,
so
that's
I
true.
Knew.
So never mind.
I didn't
but
know.
But when you saw it in Civil War, was that?
I didn't know it would be in Civil War.
Oh yeah, so that was a little bit more.
I didn't know that was his connection.
Yeah, pretty cool. A lot of Black Panther in Civil War.
So that was really interesting.
Yeah.
To me,
a lot of surprisingly a lot more of the other heroes in Civil War than you'd be surprised.
Yeah, I didn't realize that would be like the plot of the movie.
Yeah,
basically.
That's not bad. Black Panther's a good one. It's a really good one. It's a solid one from Marvel's history too. When you think of like Marvel's lineup of heroes, like Black Panther's a solid one from their past.
Mm-hmm. And it, you know, he's important. He's an important
massively
character.
Important. Yeah, he's the king of a nation that they need to work with that has like the most technology, mm-hmm. and his sister's like super scientist, and he's like a badass.
Mm-hmm.
Whole thing's cool.
You know, the culture is really interesting, and just
everything about
it
the
great.
That's the thing. Black Panther has like such a cool backstory. Everything about Black Panther is just cool.
Yeah,
it's just awesome. You're like, yeah, Black
he's
Panther's
such
cool.
a unique character.
It's just like everything you kind of like if you think. like everything you'd want from like a superhero to a degree, like mm-hmm. as far as what you want, like when it gets like all the tech, all the strength,
mm-hmm.
all of the intelligence,
yep.
plus a cool place that they're from, a cool place they live,
mm-hmm.
and they're the king of that cool place. It's kind of like the best of
yeah.
with Black Panther to mm-hmm. a degree, but they do it in a way that's very subversive and very, very interesting mm-hmm. and relatable. You don't feel like he's royalty. He is royalty, but he doesn't come off like a dick.
Well,
he's
do,
not a dick.
You
he's not like, I'm above you, peasants.
Well, yeah,
he's
but
a man
he's,
of the people.
He's the royalty that everyone wants.
Yeah, absolutely. He's in the trenches fighting alongside his warriors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's the one trying to prevent them from going to war
yep.
by fighting himself.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty badass when mm-hmm. you think about it. A lot of world leaders could benefit from this. Any shits. Let's get to, I guess, my favorite now. It fluctuates. I like Doctor Strange a lot because there's a lot of, like, I love Rick and Morty, and there's a lot of Rick in Doctor Strange in the sense that he kind of does his own thing. He works around, he uses magic. So he works around bullshit by using magic. He's like, fuck this, I got magic. I'm just going to teleport and get out of here. Or I'm going to turn you into a frog. Whatever. I'll just unravel your existence. Like
mm-hmm.
I'll travel through time and unwind you. I don't care. Like he does his own thing. So there's something about that I enjoy, but I'm still having a hard time relating to his character because he's still kind of outsider-y. Like I'm still warming up to Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
But I do enjoy him a lot. I think once I see more humility and humanity from him, I'll be more down the Doctor Strange path. But man, the one that I always keep going back to, like for Marvel, for the heroes,
mm-hmm.
when I'm like, that's like the one that I keep going. Yeah, I dig that one. It's a tough call. Because Doctor Strange was one that was like a comic that I was really into and I read all the time. But it's not like one of my favorite heroes from the movies currently. I'm still sort of learning to get to know this one. Even though I saw the first Doctor Strange, I'm still getting to know this Doctor Strange. So.
Oh, yeah. But how about this, though? Then let's look at this question this way. When you found these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you read that one, what was the first character to come to mind?
I hate saying Captain America.
Because
it sounds like such a
first character.
It almost was, but like it's such a douchey thing. It's because of like when you see the very first movie with Captain America, the first Avenger,
mm-hmm.
you see like Steve Rogers and he's literally like this twerpy little dude who's like getting like pushed around, but he's got this big heart and he's like, fuck you, man, I don't
mm-hmm.
give a shit, I could do this all day and I'd like kick my ass all day, that's fine, as long as I'll get in the way. And then he was like, most people would run away from the military during that time, but he was running towards it even
mm-hmm.
though he was feeble. So you see someone who genuinely wanted to do good, but they didn't have the means necessary,
mm-hmm.
and so they took a chance on him and they gave him that ability, and it's like Superman syndrome. It's like, he was raised by good parents and he had all this all this power and ability. He was raised by a really good family and a good community or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that he just was a Boy Scout and he just always used his powers for good because he just always had that core.
Yeah.
It's like same thing with Captain America. Like he always had this core, but he never had the abilities. And then one day someone gave him, it's like, maybe we should give the little guy a chance,
mm-hmm.
And they gave him the abilities and he like saved the day. And that to me is really cool because that's sort of like when you read comic books and you want to escape in the fantasy world, a lot of kids, when they read comic books, like they like Shazam for that reason, because
mm-hmm.
Billy Batson can say DC again. He could say Shazam and he turns into a badass grown-up superhero.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like in that realm, it's like you see yourself in Steve Rogers. He's
mm-hmm.
just a good guy, good person, trying to do the right thing. He doesn't have magic abilities. He's not like tech savvy. He's just really good at strategy and he's good at knowing how to utilize his abilities and the abilities of others around him. But
yes.
He's willing to put himself between the danger and the innocence.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally willing to sacrifice his life every time.
Yep.
Even though he doesn't have the ability to really like, he has a lot of super strength, but he doesn't have that much. Like to the point where this is in the trailer, he grabs Thanos' Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
He's just Steve Rogers. He's just Captain America, but he's grabbing the Infinity Gauntlet and using,
yeah,
knowing this thing could just like destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just standing there like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I'm like Captain America.
Okay, well,
can't help it. I'd like,
no,
with that,
you don't have to apologize.
That much intensity, I'm like, that's, it's got to be him.
Yeah,
because like, you know, Iron Man's great, but he never really had that core wholesomeness. Mm-hmm. Like he was corrupted, and then like he had issues with his family, and then he was kidnapped. He had PTSD, so it's not the same. You know, T'Challa, he came from a good family, and he was a part of this like honorable lineage, and then he finds out, oh, it's corrupt. Kind of like Thor, when Thor found out that Odin was corrupt too.
Mm-hmm.
But you could say that about a lot of these characters. For me, it's I don't know if it's more so Captain America than it is Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more Steve Rogers than it is the mantle,
yeah,
of Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Because he even said, like, because he was above, I mean, they called him Captain America because of who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Not the other way around. You know, well, obviously they don't call him Steve Rogers because,
right,
you know, but you know what I mean? Like the mantle was created by him because of how he was.
Yes.
More or less. So I guess that's why, because to me, and they call him the first Avenger for a reason. So, mm-hmm, I don't know. That's where I stand. I've been gushing enough about Cap America, which is funny because I thought I'd be more of like an Iron Man, or I thought I'd be more of like a Doctor Strange kind of a person, mm-hmm, or, but no, it's for some reason, you're right. Like when I thought about it, I'm like Captain America. It's like, mm-hmm, why? It's like, well, he's just trying his best.
Yeah.
He's a good person,
mm-hmm,
trying his best to do the right thing, and he's putting himself at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's kind of the core values of what's, like, he kind of represents, like, what a superhero is at their,
yeah,
core.
And, see, I find that really interesting.
Like, the wholesomeness.
I kind of feel like there are two, with the exception of the people, the rare people that are, like, born with superpowers.
The abilities are there, yeah.
There's two kinds of superheroes. There are ones that start really low and are brought up,
yeah,
to, you know, they're given something.
They're born with something,
and they're already
something.
Good. Like there are people who are already good, and then there are people like Tony Stark, who are cocky and arrogant, and you know, think they rule
they
the world already,
yeah,
and something had to knock them down.
Yeah, exactly.
In order,
yeah,
to want to help people,
take them off their perch.
And generally, the ones who are brought up are more relatable.
Yeah,
the
you're
underdogs.
Right. Yeah, the underdogs are absolutely more relatable, and that's what Captain America was the entire, mm-hmm, time. He's always been the underdog, even though he is. You look at him and he's like, "Oh, he's Captain America. He's a badass." It's like, mm-hmm, yeah, but he's just a super soldier. He doesn't have like he has a shield. He needs that shield.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets shot, he dies. Like he's not, mm-hmm, he can't stop bullets with his mind. He's gonna, like, he needs a shield because,
yeah,
he will die.
Exactly.
Like,
Peter Parker.
Yeah, same thing with Spider-Man to a degree. He could be killed too, but he's got super strength, like, to a degree that,
oh, yeah,
Steve Rogers doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to kind of take out Captain America using his strategy, using his, mm-hmm, brain, using strategery.
Strategery.
Anyway, it's Captain America.
Yeah.
Captain,
okay,
America. So there you go. Those are all of the hypotheticals that seem to be the most, like, interesting,
woohoo,
ones for the Marvel world. If you,
that
haven't seen,
fun,
Infinity War, go see it. If you haven't seen any of the other Marvel movies, go see them.
Yeah.
They're all good. If we had to pick one
just
that was good, there are all of them.
They're all good.
I can't pick one.
Just binge. You don't need to go outside today.
I don't think there's one that you could see. Like, I think the least popular one, and this is least popular, would be the first Thor. But that's splitting hairs.
Yeah.
Because even the first Thor is pretty damn good. Like,
yeah,
the whole part where he's like, this drink is good, another? And he slams it. Come on, that shit's hot. That's
it was
awesome.
Funny.
He was a fish out of water.
He
always is. He's Thor. He's always like a Norse god. He can't help it, him and Loki. Anyway, thanks for tuning in.
Thanks.
Information's below, wherever podcasts are found. YouTube channel, Simmer Mike, all caps. What else?
Instagram.
That's the thing.
@team_awesomeinc.
All right. Thank you for joining us on this hypothetical. And let's get another 10 more years or 20 or 50 of superheroes, please. I'm fine with it. I'm not sick of it yet. Yet. This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. Life on experience. Awesome. Well, you know we're doing too. Awesome. So awesome. We
team awesome mink.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.